Hello, my name is Daniel Nenni, founder of SemiWiki, the open forum for semiconductor professionals. Welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series. If you have a topic you'd like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. My guest today is Jacob Engblom, this year's vice chair and keynote chair for DVCon Europe. He's been in the virtual platforms field since 2002, most recently as director of simulation technology ecosystem at Intel. His interests include simulation technologies, software and hardware testing and validation, programming and debug, embedded and low-level software and computer architecture. Welcome to the podcast, Jacob.
Well, thank you, Daniel. It's wonderful to be here.
So first, can you tell us what motivated you to join the semiconductor industry?
I think that's a funny story because I was honestly trying my best not to go into semiconductors for the longest time. I mean, especially if we talk about EDA, because when we started out at Virtutech back in the days, we decided our market was going to be embedded systems and essentially finished hardware, so to speak. That seemed to be the niche where we could play with our virtual platforms. And when people started talking about, oh, let's do, you know, computer architecture or validation, things like that, it was always like, no, that's not our job. Stay away. Not our thing. We want to do this nice, fast virtual platforms without any dirty hardware details in them. That was basically what we felt like. And well, then we were acquired by Intel and things changed. For the better, I would argue, because I mean, I really love the semiconductor industry. I mean, I find EDA fascinating and the whole business of chip design and technology of chip design is absolutely super fun. So I'm glad we made that change. But I mean, if you'd asked me, well, say 15 years ago, I would have said like, no, I'm not an EDA. I'm doing virtual platforms. It's something different.
That's a good story. Yeah. You know, quite a few people didn't intend to go in the semiconductor industry, but ended up there anyway. So how did you become conference vice chair for DVCon EU?
I guess that kind of came about, I wouldn't say by accident, because it was designed not by me. So I've been coming to DVCon since, I believe, 2016 was the first time I attended. I had papers, you know, quite a few years before the pandemic hit. And I'm good friends with several people in the committee. And eventually, one of my colleagues, actually at Intel, well, now ex-colleague because he has left Intel, he told me, like, yeah, why don't you join the committee and help run this thing? So I helped out in 2022, last year. I think it was the first full year as a full steering committee member. And this year it's like, okay, let's do vice chair and let's also do the keynotes because we're trying to slim down the size of the committee a bit. So that's why I ended up here. Essentially, I knew people, they felt I should get involved. And I said like, sure. I mean, it's a great conference. I want to be part of organizing it.
You know, it is a great conference. It's one of my favorite conferences. I go to the one here in Silicon Valley every year, and I have been to the one in Europe. And it plays a great role. It's very focused. And there's a lot of very talented people that are actively involved. So it is just a wonderful organization. But what role does DVCon play in the ecosystem? You know, what is the idea behind DVCon Europe?
Well, I would say that it is important to have a conference that's driven by the user companies, right? Because if you look closely at the steering committee for DVCon Europe, you realize that all of us are from essentially semiconductor companies or academia, right? We don't have any of the EDA vendors in there. And that is kind of by design because you want this to be driven by the user companies and obviously, I mean, for the Accelera community. Because otherwise, I mean, what you have in Europe are, to be honest, mostly vendors, the vendors' own conferences, right? So we need something which is broader than that and which isn't, you know, just an academic conference either, right? So as far as I know, it's the only, what I would say, truly industrial conference we have in Europe with an actual paper selection process. And anybody can contribute and talk about their experiences, including, of course, I mean, people in the EDA vendors. I mean, we love to have them for tutorials. We love to have them for papers and sponsors and everything. But organization is basically user company driven. That's the concept.
Yeah, that's the good thing. And I have participated in the paper process, and you guys have a very good one. So you guys actually vet the papers, and you know, you make sure that they're very technical. And you know, I think everybody appreciates that. So what is new in 2024?
Well, I mean, I will make everybody very disappointed. We did not keep up the dinner tradition from last year, which was because last year we had our 10th anniversary. So we had this big party dinner at a very nice restaurant where I did some now infamous singing. Great fun. Unfortunately, that was kind of a bit out of the budget this year. So we won't have that one. Instead, we'll actually have another new thing, a System C modeling contest, which we started out this summer, where we hope to get some really interesting submissions, which we will celebrate on Tuesday, the first day of the conference. And then we rejigged the schedule a bit for day two, because we're always trying to address feedback from previous years and kind of seeing, okay, what can we tweak to the program to make it better? So this year, we're taking a chance. We're reducing the number of panels from 2 to 1 because that gives us some more space. We're expanding to 5 parallel tracks for the papers. And then we're shortening paper session a bit, with the end goal for this is that we get more time where people are not sitting in a room listening to somebody, so that they can go and network and they can go and visit the very nice exhibition we have. So it's a no fancy dinner, and hopefully a slightly less crammed program for day two, I would say, are the big news this year.
I think it's a good idea. You know, networking is the key to these conferences. You know, that's where I learn the most, is in the hallways after the papers, right? You know, so there's a lot of discussions amongst people. And the conferences this year that I've attended, mostly here in Silicon Valley, have just been big. I mean, the attendance rate is up higher than maybe even before the pandemic, because people really want to network. So I think those are some good changes.
That's impressive, because otherwise, I mean, the attendance is something I've been a bit concerned about. It actually seems to be okay this year again, but with all the savings and cost-cutting measures in various companies, it's always felt like it is becoming slightly trickier for people to get to attend these things, which is, I find personally very sad, because the value you get from attending this thing and the value, you know, whoever's employer is, gets from having people attend it, I think is, well, honestly invaluable. I mean, you can't just have people, just sit on your desk and do your work, right? I mean, people need to get out, get new impulses, learn something new, network with people, and I mean, present their own work, because a lot of people out there are doing really exciting things. And I really love hearing people who do things for real tell us about what they are doing for real, right? I mean, that's why I love user conferences.
Yeah, they're invigorating. They really are. So what do you think the highlights of the 2024 conference will be?
Of course, as I'm the keynote chair, I have to say the keynote, right? But I'm actually serious, right? And I mean, when I started going to conferences many years ago, I always felt like, oh, keynotes. Who cares about a keynote? It's some blah, blah, old guy standing in front of the crowd just blabbing about blah, blah, something they've done. I mean, and now when I'm myself, one of these older guys standing in front of the audience blabbing about stuff, so I'm like, ooh, that's the most interesting part, because that's where we get the broader perspectives. That's when we can, you know, speculate a bit. Because if you're doing a paper, it's like, did this, here's the proof, here are my diagrams, here's the code, questions kind of thing, right? Well, if you've got a keynote slot, you can actually talk a bit more. Look, this is where the world is going, this is what happened in the past, to give this bigger picture. So that is honestly what I enjoy the most in the conference. But then there's always the unexpected things, right? I mean, I kind of like the scattershot approach. Oh, here's a session, contains papers by somebody I've never heard before on something. Honestly, I'm not really sure I understand what it is. Oh, let's jump in and see what it is, because you never know. It might be super interesting, right? I mean, once again, that is why you want to have a live conference, because you can do these things. So it's yeah, it's super important that we actually get to meet in person again. I mean, I just come back to that. It is so important.
I actually like the keynotes because there are some hugely experienced people. And, you know, keynotes, I like the ones I like where people share their observations, their experiences, their, you know, opinions. Those are really good keynotes based on how smart people are in this industry and how experienced they are now. You know, there's people with 30, 40 years experience up there talking about active projects. It's pretty impressive. You know, one of the things I always wanted to ask is, why is the conference in Munich? Every conference, I've been to quite a few there, and everyone has been in Munich since I can remember. Has it ever moved? I mean, why is it always in Munich?
As far as I know, it hasn't moved. Well, of course, we weren't in Munich during the pandemic, obviously, right? And we were virtual,
right.
But that doesn't count. But prior to that, I am fairly sure it was all in Munich. And I think the reason is, it is kind of the natural place in Europe because we have a lot of the chip designers, semiconductor companies are around the Munich area, right? I mean, it's where we have Intel and Infineon and, nowadays Apple as well, right? And that's one part of it. We have many of the headquarters of the EDA companies for Europe are also in München. And getting there is very easy from pretty much all over Europe, right? I mean, any place you are, I mean, at most one flight change and you can get there, right? It's not out of the way. And we have a good hotel. It's a nice city. It, in a sense, it just works. And I don't think we would gain anything now by moving it because I can't really imagine any other logical place. I mean, it would be like, yeah, let's go to London or Paris like everybody else does. But honestly, those cities are just too big, in my opinion. München is a perfectly sized city for this kind of thing.
Yeah, I actually agree. I enjoy it. You know, it's easy to get to from the U.S., and the train system is great. You don't have to rent a car, and, you know, a lot of people speak English, and it is just such a friendly place. And, you know, it's very modern. There's very great places to stay and eat and such, but it's also very historical. You know, there's a lot of history there, and it is really a great destination for a conference. So I hope they don't move it. Last question, Jacob. Who can you expect to meet at the conference?
I mean, once again, I mean, the interesting thing with DBCon Europe is the fact that we get such a diverse set of attendees, but also, I mean, I would say they're both vertically and horizontally diverse. And by that, I mean, we have all kinds of people, if you think about it vertically in a company, we have junior engineers who show up to learn something or maybe present the first paper. And we have senior engineers. We have quite a number of managers. I believe the numbers, and this is off of the top of my head, so this is probably wrong, but I recall something like 25-30% of the attendees have some kind of manager position in their companies, right? And that is pretty fabulous because, well, once again, we talk about experienced people and the slightly different perspective you get when you're actually responsible for something and not just writing code, as if you mean if you're a junior engineer. And then horizontally, I mean, we have people from all over Europe and abroad, right? We have people from the US, we have people from India in particular show up. I think we even had some longer distance travelers in the past. And we also have academia. I mean, last year we added an academic track. So now it used to be like only we had DBCon Europe, it's one conference. And now we're kind of doing like a little mini tiny DAC clone in the sense that we have an academic program where we actually get things published in an IEEE journal, well, in an IEEE format. And then we have the engineering track. And this suddenly means that we're getting many more university people in. And I think that's great for everybody because, I mean, in the past we had, I mean, we still had academics show up even before when it was an industry conference, but now they get proper academic credit for it, so it's easier to get people to attend. So we have both like PhD students and essentially up and coming people in academia there as long as with the professors and the industry people and the senior industry people. And we do this kind of across the European geography. So there is a huge diversity of people at a conference. And as I said before, right? I mean, I mean, of course, you know some of the people you will meet because we do have some regulars, myself included. But there's always new people, new companies, new universities you never heard about before. And that's what I really enjoy. I mean, once again, it's back to the network. It's back to the meeting people in person. And this is a good place to meet people in person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, this year I've noticed that there's a lot more startup companies, a lot more badges for startup companies or companies that I've never heard of. You know, I would say there's a very high quantity of people that have either changed jobs or started new companies. And that's really what I like to see is, you know, just some new innovation and new blood coming through, new technology coming through the industry.
That would be very interesting to see actually how that works out here in DVCon Europe. I absolutely think that must be the case in Silicon Valley. I don't know. I don't have the numbers, to be honest. I didn't ask for the, can you give me the list of all the attendees before this call, I'm afraid. So since it hasn't happened, but definitely hope that's the case here too, because as you say, I mean, if it's only the same old companies like, oh yeah, we're talking about the same thing I talked about last year and it's still interesting, it's still great work. But when something completely new comes out, right, it's like, ooh, this is interesting.
Well, in Silicon Valley, AI is a big buzz now. And so a lot of these new companies have AI, you know, embedded in them. But still, it's a lot of new thinking and a lot of new experiences and a lot of new challenges. So I hope the conference goes well. And, you know, I really appreciate your time. And hopefully we'll be able to connect again.
Yeah, I mean, it was great talking to you. I mean, honestly, AI is, I mean, it's a theme you cannot avoid. We have one of our keynote speakers is a super experienced AI guy who I actually got to know 20 years ago when he was at Infineon. And since then, he's been doing AI for everybody, right? He's managed to be at Apple and NVIDIA and Intel and Infineon and one more other semiconductor vendor. Oh, let's build an AI accelerator. I mean, that's going to be great to hear his perspective on that. And I expect to see many papers with AI because it's clear that AI in EDA is happening and it's going to happen in the most unexpected ways. So it's going to be really fun to learn more about that.
Great. All right, Jacob. Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening and have a great day.